Welcome to my daily update video. Hey, in a moment, I want to jump into the subject I've been teaching on for a few days now about how to read the Bible. What I'm going to do today is literally give you my Bible reading plan, the one I've done for years, and just explain how I approach reading the Bible, because it can be a little confusing, especially when you begin that journey. And secondly, more importantly, I want to talk about how to read the Bible, but at a whole other level, how to read it in the Holy Spirit, how to actually read it and connect with the Lord, the author, your Father, as you are reading it. Good. Hey, quick 30-second announcement before that. I'm putting this out on Christmas Day. Christmas Eve. We actually have a Christmas Eve service here in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. This evening at 6 p.m., Sturbridge Worship Center. Love to see you. And although I've got lots of announcements and all these different things going on, can I really encourage you to sign up to my email newsletter? I am really just in the process of beginning a whole other journey. To be honest, social media, I don't know, I feel I've had it with social media. Social media wants to collect all your friends and then rent them to you. And I've begun a new daily email newsletter sort of thing where I just share thoughts, books I'm reading, teachings. Sometimes as I'm writing a book now, I'll literally put the text out there before it's even published. Events, lots of other things going on. And if you're interested in getting that completely free into your inbox every day, there will be a link at the very top below. Just hit that. You can subscribe for free, and I'd love to keep in touch with you that way. Good. So let's talk about how we read the Bible. And again, I want to say that it can be difficult, frustrating, or confusing. The Bible is not sometimes the easiest book to read. And if we're not honest about that, then, you know, a young Christian, or frankly, often older Christians, will get to that place where they don't understand the Bible, they're reading things, and they're not really enjoying it. The bottom line for me is this, and I'm a real believer in this. If you are not enjoying your journey of reading the Bible, then, well, God isn't enjoying it either. Why would we think if we're bored and lost and daydreaming and we're just going through this like some religious duty, like some precious Catholic person praying through a string of beads, like going through the motions, rather than actually getting life out of it? Why would we think God is enjoying that and that's how God designed it to be? Now, there is hard work. There are at times things you're going to enjoy more than others. It's always going to be easier to read the book of Psalms than it is the book of Leviticus, unless you're a butcher. But there's power and truth in both. And if you go back to an earlier video I did, if you'll actually get to the place in your life where you realize this is a promise from my Father to me, and all, and I mean all of heaven's resources stand behind all of God's promises, all of God's power back up His promises. When you realize that, this is glorious. You know, sometimes I had to write a large check the other day for some repairs we're having in our church. And I'm the person with the authority. I'm the person who puts my name on it. And the resources of the church are behind that check I write. And I put my name on it. I tell you, God has exalted His word even above His name. And the resources of heaven stand behind His word. The Lord said to Joshua, you know, when he came into the promised land from the river to the sea, God gave the land to the Jewish people. And the Lord said literally to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, look from the great river to the great sea. This land is yours. See, I have given it to you. Not the United Nations, I have given it to you. But then the Lord said to Joshua, you will only get the part you put your foot on. It's yours, it's your inheritance, it's your possession, but you'll only possess your possessions when you possess your possessions, when you put your foot on them. And in a very similar way, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 and says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ to the glory of God through us, through the church. But you only get the ones you put your foot on. And you need to put your feet, figuratively speaking, on these promises and claim them. People say, oh, you're one of those name it and claim it people. Yes, absolutely. I've named it. I've claimed it. I live in it. And I get to give it away to others. Boom. So How do we read the Bible? Now, obviously, you could just start at the beginning, Genesis 1, and nothing particularly wrong with that. I would say this, all of the scripture is for us. Not all of the scripture is primarily written to us. Now, there are parts of scripture that we, as new creation in Christ, are going to read. And we need to realize, and we're reading the message of God to the Jewish people thousands of years ago when they were in rebellion. And just because it's true that God said, you know, rebuked the people of Israel, let's say, when they were walking far from him, which they often did and often do, we should read that. There's the error of saying, oh, that doesn't apply to me, I won't read that. No, we want to read that, but we want to read that and understand what we've been redeemed from. There are portions of scripture that are more to you than other portions of scripture. We can learn from all of it, we can receive from all of it, but there are portions of scripture that literally describe who you are. So for many years, here's how I've approached reading the Bible. I actually divide the Bible into, I've never even literally thought that through. Probably, let's say, 5 different categories. And I prioritize those categories. So if I only have a little bit of time, I'm going to put nearly all that time on category 1 or maybe category 2. If I have more time, I'm going to go on. So every time, ideally, when I read the Bible, I'm going to try to touch I'm going to try and touch all of these 5 different areas of scripture. And what I'll generally do is kind of cycle my way through all 5 of these parts. Now, what are those 5? The 5 are these, the Gospels. Secondly, I'll just call it the epistles. Now I'm going to include the book of Acts and Revelation in that as well, but let's just call it the rest of the New Testament. So I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then I go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You see, I think that Jesus is the key to everything. Yeah? Job is filled with questions. Jesus is the answer. You won't understand the book of Job until you understand the book of Jesus, the Gospels of Jesus. So number 1 for me is always Jesus and the Gospels. And literally, I just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, cycle, rinse, repeat. Second category is the New Testament. Now, again, the book of Acts is more history, obviously. You know, Revelation is a strange book, but it's actually an epistle. It's the epistle, not an epistle of Paul or the epistle of, you know, Timothy or Titus. It's the epistle of Jesus to the church, Selah. But I'll read those through. I think in some way the epistles are so important as well because they describe who we are in Christ Jesus, our inheritance in him. Thirdly, I will go to what I would call the wisdom literature in the Bible. And that is primarily the book of Psalms, but also the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, you know, portions of scripture like that. But again, generally speaking, with the book of Psalms, I will just cycle my way through that. Psalm 1, Psalm 2, 3, 4, whatever. And when I reach Psalm 150, I'll go back to the beginning of Psalm 1. And again, I think it's great to... Somebody once said to me as a young man, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, read a chapter a day. And I don't always do that anymore because I'd actually end up reading Proverbs more than the Gospels. But there's a power in the wisdom of God that is powerful. But start with the Gospels, the epistles, let's call it the wisdom. And then fourthly, I would go to the history. Now, again, that's primarily Old Testament history. The history books, like right from Genesis all the way through, you know, to the portions of scripture like Ezra and Nehemiah, which describe Daniel, which describe the events, really the last events recorded in biblical history. So I'll kind of cycle through those history books. And I place less emphasis on those. Probably each year I'd want to read through all of the history of the Old Testament once a year. And then my last category would be the Old Testament prophetic books. So the minor and major prophets. You know, major prophets are, you know, Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Isaiah, minor prophets, Hosea, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, all those kind of guys. So that's my approach. It's not a perfect one. It's a pretty good one, actually, of making sure I've got a good, stable diet in God's Word. Now, let me touch on one more thing before I close today. This took me many years to get to it. It makes perfect sense to me, but I've met many people who really don't get this. Here's what I've learned to do. Firstly, before I read the Bible, I actually want to connect relationally with the Lord, like an intimate, Lord, I love you. It's so easy for us to allow the Lord, to allow God, if you will, to become a concept in our mind. And suddenly it's then we're like reading a book about him. If I had a book today about Donald Trump, about Tony Blair, about Bill Clinton, I don't know them. I've never met them. I could learn facts about them. I could hold opinions about them. But here am I reading a book about somebody I've not known. And that's functionally how a lot of people actually read the Bible. So what I want to do is, the first thing I'll do in every day is just sit there in silence before the Lord. And I'm not trying to, Lord, where are you? I am abiding in him. I'm saying, Lord, I thank you. In that day, you'll know I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. I'm abiding in him. And then what I want to do is actually read the scripture with him. Not read about him, not read to him, not learn, not seek knowledge about him, but actually read it with him and literally hear him speak the heart of what he's actually saying to me. Now, of course, when we're reading scripture, we're reading, let's say, Jesus on a mountain talking to his disciples. Amen. But I can hear him speaking to me through that. We're hearing maybe Paul writing a letter that will be circulated around the churches of Asia Minor, but I want to hear the Holy Spirit in Paul speaking to me as part of the church. And then literally, you know, I would encourage you to not get into a place when you're reading the Bible that you are ticking a box, that you are, you're sort of going through a spiritual devotional. You know, I'm about 3 days a week, I will go to the gym. And it's not like I enjoy it. I enjoy it long term, but I will literally, I have a system I'll go through of intervals about every 3 minutes. I'll up the pressure on the unit I'm pushing. And you know, if I'm really honest, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be doing what I'm doing. I'm not enjoying it because I'm enjoying it in the moment. I'm enjoying it for the long term benefits of it. And my point is, I go there and I'll do 20 minutes of cardio and some weights or whatever, and I'm just going through the motions of doing those things. Now, the danger is bringing that to God's Word, where if you come and you feel, hey, I need to read, you know, 3 chapters a day, and you're trying to plow through this and you're not getting anything out of it, but you're just trying to be faithful. Well, there's some benefit in that, but you would be better reading 3 verses a day and actually hearing from the Lord into your heart and actually saying yes and amen in your heart to him as you read than simply going through the motions. Now again, there are times when it's good to be faithful and it's good to press through and it's good to just say, hey, here's what I'm going to do, whether I enjoy it or not. But I encourage you to slow way down, to let your imagination kick in, to invite the Lord into his word. And most importantly, you know, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Have the life and breath of the Spirit speak into and in through his word to you. Hey, my last thought as well is I will always read my Bible with a journal, with a notepad and a pen, because I expect to hear him speak to me. I'll underline my Bible. You'll get out of it what you put into it. And you want to go on a journey. But again, it's not a journey about learning about a God who's far away. It's about a journey of learning to know the God who's already drawn near, who's in you. Selah. Boom. Guys, thanks for watching this far. Again, really encourage you to hit that link and sign up for our daily email news. I'd love to connect with you in that way. And I hope to see some of you this evening at our Christmas Carol service. And if I don't, have an amazing Christmas wherever you are. God bless you. And live for Jesus. Let Jesus birth new things in you this Christmas season. God bless you.